So we're at the end of our series called Higher Love. And again, I think Steve Winwood a little bit and the song comes into my mind and all that. But more than just a song, it's this higher love, that love actually starts with God, right? And He is love. Now, love isn't God. Let's get that straight real quick, okay? Because again, love has all these different definitions that we have for it. And we say love pizza, love my wife, love my shoes, love this carpet, love those windows. All of them can be a different kind of love. Love isn't God. God is love. He defines it. And so that's what we've been looking at. So just really quick, by way of just a quick recap, can anybody start with the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? Like, and it really is first on purpose, right? What is the first commandment? Anybody remember? Thou shalt have no other God above me, before me, instead of me, right? Cool. How about number two? Yeah, no images, right? Don't make images. Don't worship them. Don't be idolaters. Cool, we're doing good. We're two for two. Let's move down to the third one. You guys remember that one at all? You have a Bible. You can cheat. This is an open book test, friends. Yes. It's not even cheating. It's just smart. Go ahead, what you got? Third one. Does that have anything to do with a name? Yeah. Let's not use His name in vain. That isn't just saying the Lord's name is a swear word and no. Yeah, that's a pretty low bar. He's like, don't just throw my name out there for nothing. We just sang about His kingdom coming and His will being done. And for some of us, we're feeling that. It's not just because that song bops, although it does. It's because we feel like, God, I want Your rule and Your reign. But let me ask you, friends, are you ready for that? Do you really want that? Because that's where the in vain can actually take a turn that we weren't ready for. Well, I mostly meant it. Nah. You guys, don't take His name in vain. Don't use it lightly. Don't just throw it out there. And don't try to say, look, this is what I want for my life, and so I'll put God's name on it. Turns out that the higher love didn't start with you. Start with Him. He's the source. He loves you. He's patient with you. He's gracious. But He's not saying, gosh, what do you think I should do, Patty? Like, hey, Zach, is the throne good for you? Do you like where it's sitting? He loves you and will rule and reign with Him, but He's not asking us to be the king. He's the king. All right, so then we worked into number four. What was that one? Remember the Sabbath day. Keep this day holy. And so should we just have one day a week where we're like, God, You're it? No, I mean, it's daily. But what about, and some of you, and I ask you guys to consider this, what about taking weekly, taking a day where you just slow down, focus on the Creator, enjoy creation, but you focus on the Creator, maybe unplug from a normal, if you will, kind of life. I don't know how that's been going. I'd love to hear about it. Has anybody, since that time, been trying to take daily Sabbath or at least a weekly Sabbath? Good. How's that going for you, Darcy?
It's the best way to start
my day. Hallelujah. Daily, starting it out. And for some of you, like, I'm going to work through lunch, right? We have this, I'm going to work through the week kind of mentality where we just don't slow down. All right. So, now this one might be a little more challenging. You might have to look into, unless you're a parent, you might have to look into the Bible for a second. What was the fifth one? Really quick. Honor your mother and your father. How many of you have had your kids memorize that? How many of you as adults are still learning how to honor your mom and your dad? Can you honor parents that have passed away? Yeah, you really can. All right. And so last week we talked about these ones, and these ones are kind of the, yeah, that's good. Sixth, sixth one, right? We transitioned into the fifth one to loving people, right? The first four are loving God, which is first things first, Jesus said. And so then, what was the next one after honoring your parents? Don't murder. Again, pretty low bar. Jesus said, look, it's about anger in your heart. That's where murder starts. Don't be hating people, holding on to grudges and all that. Be like me. Life is precious to God. What's the next one? Woo! Don't have sex with somebody who isn't your spouse. Don't have sex with somebody else's spouse is maybe a different way for somebody to hear that, right? And we're like, oh, gosh. God actually cares much about marriage, and he cares about people, and he's the one that instituted marriage as an expression of his love for his bride, the church. And so I want to transition into the final three of the Ten Commandments with these two words, and you won't see them up here. I keep pointing up there. That's just a habit now. But beyond normal. It's not bad to get back to sports. It's not bad to get back to some things that are real. Oh, we're online again. Sweet. It's not a bad thing. There's some good normalcy that we need to be able to get back to. But what we're saying is, if God's kingdom is coming and his will is being done, then you know what's going to happen? It's going to not be normal. We're not going to look like everybody else. He says, these are the commandments. These are the way to live. I want you to follow me. You can't do it on your own. You're going to need me. I'm going to write this on your heart. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you. Stop ignoring him. Do what he says. For the glory of God. Right back to the first four, right? It's about him, the first one. And so what I wanted to tell you is that if we're going to get beyond normal, we've got to actually fix our eyes on Jesus and live for him. And that's a really, really easy thing to just roll off the tongue. But to live for him is to lay down your life, is to give up your life. This is a great exchange that we've been told about, that God, holy God, came as one of us, died for us, as us, rose from the dead, defeated all enemies. You confess with your mouth that he's the Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. And then you get to live it. What a great gift. How many besides me have perfectly followed Jesus their whole entire life? Yeah, me either. But he's so good. And so let's get to this. Your life, your everything is God's. And that's what I'm looking at today. What's mine is God's. That's what we're going to be able to go for. And so let's get right to it. Exodus 20:15. You shall not steal. Yeah, that's a good one. And some of you are like, I've never actually stolen something. I never went into somebody's house and took their things. I never went into their locker when I was in school. I never went into somebody's purse and took out money. I never found something in my yard after a windstorm and thought, that's not mine, but I should keep it. I've never done any of that, so you can miss me with this one, bro. I got it. Okay. How about work? Can we just bring that one up? That's the only one I'm going to talk about. Work. Have you ever done anything at work? That you, you and me too, bro. That's why I'm a pastor. I just work on Sundays. It's only like an hour and a half. A little bit. If you didn't hear it online, homie said no. What's his name? Elias. Oh, God bless you, Elias. I need you, bro. Have you ever done anything at work that you didn't get paid for? And I don't mean extra work. I mean surfing the net. I mean just kind of sitting there and vegging. I mean, we're humans. How about as a boss? Have you ever called your workers to do something and told them to do something and forced them to do something and you didn't pay them for it? The word says that the wages of the workers cry out to God. We steal from people. But most of all, we steal from God. And I'm not just talking about not tithing. That, again, is a pretty low bar. But I'll tell you about it in the Live It Out video, so check that one out today. You're like, no, you can miss me with that. There's lots of examples of stealing. I must go on. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 28. You're like, wait a minute. Aren't we in Exodus? Yeah. Here's a really cool thing about the Bible. There's this continuing theme all the way through, all the time. God's holiness, his goodness, his love. He loves us. Jesus is found all the way through the Bible. And so here's a really good thing. In Ephesians 4, 28, we find out about stealing. And then we find out about no longer being a thief. Check this out. Let the thief no longer steal. Sounds like, you know what? Where are we at? The seventh commandment, ninth commandment, eighth commandment. Don't steal. All right, so let the thief no longer steal. But rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Kind of summarize a lot of stuff that I had in my mind. The opposite of theft is good stewardship. The opposite of stealing is doing something good with what you've been given. Stewardship, management, what you've been given, literally everything you have, what's mine is God's. Everything we've been given, you guys, is to manage. It's not just to hoard. It's not to hang on to. And we'll get into some more things that come off of this when you hoard. There's three basic attitudes about possessions. Pastor, teacher, writer, now with Jesus, Jerry Bridges says in his book, Disciplines of Grace, or Discipline of Grace. He said these three things. We have this attitude. What's yours is mine. I'll take it. What do we call that? Entitlement. Some of you are like, is it so simple that we could call that stealing? Yeah, that was the point. Right? This is stealing. What's yours is mine. And I'll take that. Thank you very much. The second one, Jerry Bridges says, is what's mine is mine. I'll keep it. That's selfishness, right? And that's normal. That's basic. The final one is, what's mine is God's. I'll share it. That's godly. That's holy. Pastor Kent Hughes in a sermon, and I just saw the quote and it didn't say what sermon, so sorry. I know he watches all the time. Hi. Just kidding. I have no clue who he is. He says, every time I give, I declare money does not control me. Josh just talked about it. The king of the universe said, look, you don't have any grip on me. I'm giving myself for you because you need it. Let's go to Exodus 20:16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay, so I'm not supposed to steal, and stealing could be like from God, and I could steal from others, and I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be thankful and grateful, and I'm supposed to remember that what's mine is God's, and I'll share it. Okay, now this one, shall I not bear false witness against your neighbor? I haven't really been in court with my neighbor. I think this one should be pretty easy. I don't bear false witness. This is not just court. It's some court language. But you bear witness, you testify about something all the time. It's what you talk about, and it's what you talk about when you're talking about others. So how about these three words if we want to just go ahead and say, bear false witness, that just seems weird. Let's give it some language we use. Lies, gossip, slander, talking mess about people. Football just started, you're supposed to talk mess about the other team. You want to hear a speech about talking mess? See some pregame. They come into our house thinking they could take, they're a bunch of, right? I mean, we just go for it. They're from Monroe. Or worse, Granite Falls. Blair Broughton, I know you're watching, so I want to give you a little shout out. Blair's really good at speeches and stuff and getting people going. He goes, look, man, you know, when we play like Granite, we should get Red Apple to sponsor that, the Black and Blue Bowl. He goes, you know, Red Apple, serving obscure communities you've never heard of since 1947. So he's just like making fun of everybody, including us. Good job, man. That's not slander. That's everybody's in the same boat. I joke a little bit because this one's really hard for me. Gossip. Let me say this about gossip. Gossip is talking about somebody instead of to them. Is that one maybe? Hey, how about during this whole pandemic? Have you talked about people? Well, they deserved it. It's not false witness when you call a sinner a sinner. How are you talking about people? Is it helpful? Is it true? Is it necessary? I think it's necessary to point out when somebody's doing something wrong. Have you went directly to them first? Well, don't have access to Donald Trump or Joe Biden, except I'll just put that online. But let's be real, it's more than just that. It's people around us. It's people in our household. I have a tendency to make things sound worse than they are. You know, there's a word for that. It's the first one on your screen. I lie. I love to say that I only lie sometimes. I don't think I lie all of the time. Is that a lie? No, it's not. You guys, seriously, this is one that's a huge challenge for me. I would love for somebody else to preach this that has it all figured out. I have done so much better, but that's like, compared to what? I'm not there yet. Lying, gossiping, slandering, making things sound worse or better than they are. Preachers do that all the time. Whew. We're so used to it. We can fact check in a second on our phones, and we get the truth right there, and we're like, eh. Or we go right at the person, right? What if you went right to the person? If you want some more on how to work through this rather than give into it, check out Matthew 18, the whole chapter. It's so long, really. What have you read this week? There's an old rabbinic, rabbis have this saying, and I've got it, and nobody knew who said it, so here you go. Slander kills three. The one who speaks it, the one who hears it, and the one about whom it's spoken. Look, you can actually help others with not bearing false witness by not listening to it. Hey, have you talked to Leslie about this yet? You're coming to me talking about Bill. Have you talked to Bill yet? Hey, it sounds really, really juicy, but I can't entertain this. I'm sorry. Well, fine. I feel judged. You are. I mean, stop. Christians have a way of doing this. It's really, really unique. Would you just pray for Aaron? He's really a coward. Or he's just super courageous in his own mind. I mean, I'm not talking about him, but I mean, I saw him do this or that. So would you pray for him? We're like, it's a prayer request. Homie, that's gossip. Go talk to Aaron. Bring it to me? Or just talk to God. Don't say, Craig, would you pray with me for Aaron? Have you talked to Aaron yet? Oh, that's just awkward. Oh, but you can go ahead and slander him or talk mess about him. Again, we're saying, well, but if it's true, is it really bearing false witness? Again, the word has lots to say about this, and really in such a sweet twist, we're going back to Ephesians 4 again. And I'll go 22 through 25, and then I got a bonus Jonas for you here. We're going to go to 29. If you guys don't know what that means, it's totally okay. He's blowing up on TikTok. All right. You were taught, as is the truth in Jesus, it says, verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Yeah, like, put that off, your deceitful desires. I want to be heard. I want to be important. I want somebody to think that I'm great. I want what they have, which is coveting. We're talking about that next. But here's the stealing and the lying, right? He's like, now put all that off. Take that off. It's up to you. There's something you get to do with regards to holiness. Only Jesus can make you holy, but you and I can live it out by his power, by his strength, by his conviction. So put off these things. Your former manner of life, the old way you used to live, it's corrupt through deceitful desires. You've been taught to do that and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness. Like, you were made in God's image and he saved you and he's given you the ability to do this. Therefore, having put away falsehood, lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbors. For we're members of one another. They don't go to my church. All the more, set an example for the world with them. And definitely about the church. And so, transition to verse 29 that you don't have. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The NIV says, look, build up others according to their need. You're not going to know their need if you're consistently talking about them. What if you talk to them and you ask them and you're close enough to them and you don't hate them and you're not trying to murder them in your mind and all these things? It's like all these go together somehow. How cool is that? Jesus is my superhero. He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my redeemer. Spiritually, he is called our brother. Realistically, he's the best example ever. Listen to what he says in John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, these are like leaders that believed in him, not just Jewish nation people. When you hear Jews in the New Testament, it's talking about the leadership. So to those who believed in him, he said, if you abide, if you live in my word, you're truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can you help me with this? What sets a person free according to Jesus? This one's got like a three-way application as well, right? The person who speaks a truth is set free. The person who has a truth spoken about them is set free. And the person who hears the truth is set free. Or at least we could say on all three of those, the potential is there, right? We've got to receive it. We've got to believe it. We've got to be able to live it out. But you'll know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Jesus, literally, if he had a name tag that said, hello, my name is, the truth. John 14:6. And so as to at least somehow keep you somewhere in the neighborhood of getting out of here in a little under 2 hours, I'm going to move on. So the final of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Does that sound a little bit familiar? Because that's actually where adultery gets started, by the way. You shouldn't covet his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Because some of us are like, I got one of these 10, no problem. I don't want my neighbor's ox. Come on. That donkey's loud. Pastor John's got a donkey that lives next door. I don't want that donkey. What about his car, which is really what that would be, or a tractor? Anybody just love tractors? Some of us are just like, oh, there's even a song about it, but I don't like it because it's country. So here we go. Hallelujah, testify. What is coveting? Anybody, really quick. That almost sounds simple. Wanting what somebody else has. And at the end right here, the Ten Commandments, God, the most brilliant law giver, maker, grace giver, maker, says this. Don't even covet anything that your neighbor has. Gosh, that's encompassing everything. Amen. Thank you, God. You just laid that one out real. Mark Twain said, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that gives me fits. It's what I do understand that gives me fits. This one should give you fits. It should challenge you. Like you just said, coveting is not simply wanting something we don't have. It's wanting something somebody else has. Jesus, ever the one to bring it to where we really need it. J. Vernon McGee, God rest his soul, said, as a pastor, it's my job to take the cookies off the top shelf and put them down here where the kiddies can get them. And that's what Jesus does for us. He's like, look, let me just bring it to where you can grab a hold of it. Coveting, that's a big word. Don't go after what somebody else has. Don't long for that. Don't lust for that. Don't desire for that. Don't. How do I not? Keep in perspective. Luke 12, 15, Jesus puts it in perspective for us. And he says to all of them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness. Take care is like, man, watch out. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Somebody needs to hear that today besides me, because I want to share in the conviction. And I want to share in living it out. Having it all apparently isn't what it's all cracked up to be. Jesus says, it's me, right? You'll know the truth, you'll know me, and you'll be set free. Jesus summarizes what we have as our focus as a church. He summarizes all the commandments in this. Love God and love others. If I'm loving my neighbor, I want good for him. I want good for her. I want good for them. I don't want to take from them. I want good for them. I want to celebrate. You got a good couch. Nice job, bro. You guys, I had like this delusion that I was going to be able to give you two messages in one morning. I could, you know that's right. They don't even necessarily have to be good, they just have to be loud. But this last one, serve generously, is because we've been served generously. And so I want to read for you, and I won't be able to elaborate like I'd like to, but I'll let you unpack it. We're going to go to Mark 10, 17 through 22. I think this encapsulates all of the heart that I would have for these Ten Commandments. And again, it's Jesus, and he's been doing a bunch of teaching and going around, and he just comes off of teaching some tough stuff about divorce. And he says the children are a blessing and valuable, and like the kingdom belongs to them. And as he was setting out, it says in Mark 10, 17, as he was on his way to where he was supposed to be going, he was interrupted, which is how he did. He was interruptible. A man actually ran up and knelt before him. Excuse me, either respect on the low end or worship on the high end. This man ran to him and knelt before him. And he asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" How is he going to get eternal life from his question? Do you know what an inheritance is? It's not earned. It's given. By the way, somebody has to die generally for that. Sometimes you can get an inheritance before the die. Jesus told another story about that. But right here, this man runs up to him, kneels before him, calls him good teacher, and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" I want you to see that Jesus doesn't even address the inherit thing. Or does he? Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." I mean, we could mic drop it right there. He's like, "Do you know who you're talking to? You call me a good teacher, and you're right. But do you get what you're saying?" And then he answers him. "You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud." Some of you might be going, "Is that in the, I don't remember that one in the list." Multiple are encapsulated in that. But, and then he says, you know, "Honor your father and your mother." You've got these. He doesn't say anything about the God-focused ones yet. And so the man says to him, "Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth." Liar, come on. I've been good. I've got it figured out. But let's say that he had kept all those from his youth. Jesus looking at him, these two words, friends, they're for you, they're for me, looked at him and loved him. He loved him enough that he told him the truth. "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." Now, he goes to the first commandment. Get rid of all the stuff that's in your way. Come to me. You'll have treasure in heaven. I mean, I'm it. If you want a really fascinating study, go the next verses as well and see how his disciples respond to what? Because the man didn't go, "Oh gosh, you answered my question. Thank you so much. I mean, it's going to be hard, but thank you. You love me and you told me the truth. It hurts, but I'm thankful." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Very few people in the scriptures went away from Jesus worse off than when they first came. This guy was worse off because he didn't want God. He wanted everything that goes with it. And so I ask you this question to finish up. Is God your greatest treasure? You need to probably chew on that one a little bit. If you say yes quickly, praise God that you have that in your heart. How's your life look? Are you seeing growth? Are you seeing His grace and His kindness, and is He drawing you? To end the whole entire series, I'll summarize the Ten Commandments the way Jesus did. Love God with all you have, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You need Him for that, because you can't do it on your own. We can't do it on our own. And we weren't intended to. It was always to be in relationship with Him, coming to Him, relying on Him. And He loves you enough to say, come on. Look, we have four questions for you. Like I said before, I'm going to try to give you a little extra homework. Our reading plan is robust. There's two whole chapters for today, and I hope that you'll do that. But this is additional. Question three says, please read Malachi 3, 8 through 10. What does it mean to actually rob God? And is this only a financial theft? What can we do to see God's blessing? You know that God's blessing isn't having everything go your way. God's blessing is Him. Him. Him, 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 Him. Everything else is bonus. Jesus, help us. We need your help, Lord. We want you to be our treasure. We want you to be our focus. We want you to be the one we worship. God, help us to put money, help us to put people, help us to put things, help us to put ourselves in proper perspective by putting those things off and focusing on you, because then we'll be able to love you with all of our heart, love people as we love ourselves, and use things, not the other way around. God, I pray all this to you in Jesus' righteous name. Amen. And God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. And when I say that, it's not just tagline. It's like, I want you to be strong and courageous in Christ and tell people all about Him. Show people. Don't keep it to yourselves. Love you guys. God bless you.